You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm back in Norman, Oklahoma. Yay. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, July 13th, episode 3995. Oh my God, we're almost at 4,000. Brought to you by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Well, it's so good to have you back, Jamie.
Thank you very much. It's nice, sort of nice to be back. It's quite lovely there. So
yeah, we're going to hear all about your trip to Colorado. The pictures look fantastic. And I'm glad the fires didn't interrupt. It looks like you had a great horsey week. We'll talk about that. I want to thank Sarah, Lisa, and Ashley for filling in last week. They were all terrific. And we really appreciate them covering. It's always nice when we have somebody that can fill in that we can do new episodes. So we appreciate that. Today, we're going to continue our series on unusual pets. And we have Auditor Margaret on, and she owned wolf hybrids. So we're going to chat about that. I don't know much about wolf hybrids, actually, so we'll find out.
You're going to learn.
That. And then we got some random catching up to do in the Auditor Post show. We will have one. But, you know, I haven't done a screwworm update for a long time, mainly because there hasn't been a whole lot of change.
Which is good.
Yeah, no, that's good. There's now confirmed there are more. There's 34 domestic animal cases, not wild animals, domestic animals, including cattle. So they're still in Texas. There's about a dozen counties in Texas that have reported animal cases. We had 19 cattle, 8 sheep, 5 goats, and 2 dogs. No horses or humans at this point. They're still dropping tons of flies, millions of flies over the affected areas, the sterile flies to get rid of these things. So that's the only update I have. They're still trying to battle it. It's not, thankfully, we're hearing more about explosive diarrhea now than we are screwworms. It's switched. So I think the explosive diarrhea has taken over the screwworms for the moment, and we're all glad to hear that. So let's hope they stay contained. But that's it. That's the only update I have about that for right now.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's not, you know, crazy terrible. And the, you know, the also the thing with the fires in Colorado, those poor people, and our poor listener, Betty Faye, has had to evacuate. Like, it's a whole terrible, terrible situation. So just pray for rain in Colorado. Oh, it's huge.
I didn't realize they were that dry there this year.
Yeah, it was really dry at the ranch. So, yeah, it's a terrible thing. Okay, enough terrible things. Let's talk about fun stuff.
All right.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
I have one auditor birthday today, Ruth S. Happy birthday, Ruth.
Well, I can't, you know, I never leave town for more than like 3 days at a time. So this is quite a undertaking to leave the farm for an entire week, and also an entire week in July, which is just unbelievably muggy and hot and humid here in Oklahoma, as it is in so many other places. And I just wanted to give my daily whinny to my dear friend and farm manager, farm sitter, Ginger.
Ginger.
I love you.
You have a lot of horses there right now in training and stuff. So
I've got one horse for every stall. So that is a positive. But I will tell you that, like, we had 3 inches of rain Saturday. And so I'm like, I text her. I'm like, how? Because we knew storm was coming in. We didn't know how much or what. And I text her. And I'm like, what happened? Like, you know, Sunday morning driving home. What happened? She's like, well, I got everybody in. And I brought them all in at 1 a.m. But then I turned them out at 4 a.m. Oh, I was like, wait, why did you do that? Just leave them in. She's like, no, because it's going to be like really hot the next day. And I want to bring them back in. And I didn't want them to stay in the stalls too terribly long. So I just,
God,
I was like,
better
oh my
hope
God.
She never gets a life.
Like, you're so much better than me.
You better hope you never lose that one.
Oh my God. I love her so much.
All right. So for new listeners, tell everybody where you went.
Okay, so I went to the Maytag Mountain Ranch in Colorado. It's in Cotopaxi, Colorado. And basically, what is it? It's a 3,000-acre ranch that is owned by, like, it's separated into 100 acres. And people have 100 acres on the ranch. Now, these are not normal people. like these are not, like, I don't even know
they're
if I can
like
say.
They're not like us is what you're trying
they're
to say.
They're not like us. They're not like us. So it's 100 acres and you get, basically your house is on the 100 acres and there's nobody 100 acres close to you, but it's an entire community and there's like a cookhouse and there's activities.
Jennifer and I have the poor version of that. We're 5-acre farms
here. Yeah, this is like, I call it summer camp for millionaires, okay? So like you go and there's like a shooting range and there's like an archery range and there's horseback riding and there's fishing and they do pack trips. They just do everything. And so you have 100 acres, but you only own the house because the rest of your land is used for the cattle, for the hunting, for horseback riding, all of it. So it's a beautiful, wonderful place nestled in the mountains, in the valley right around Cotopaxi.
I was going to say, gorgeous. This is in the mountains, right? I mean, you're in the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so lovely. So what I do is the guy who runs the farm, his name is TJ, and TJ and I have been friends for about 25 years, but we go back to my Wyoming days forever ago. And so he hired me to come out there 1 week a year and teach riding lessons and work on, you know, some of the horse behaviors and trainings and stuff. So basically I go and I show up and they know a week I'm coming and anybody interested, you know, books, they come to their house that week and then I teach them all lessons. And so it's super, super fun. And, you know, like, I'll teach a couple lessons in the morning and they're like, let's all go on a lunch ride, you know? And so we all go on a lunch ride and then there's just so much fun stuff to do. And so like Wednesday they have, there's a bunch of cattle that they have there. It's like a couple thousand cows and they have a cattle shoot area where they have to run them through because they either get, you know, one time they'll run them through to get them all vaccinated. One time they get their, IUDs put in. This time they had the IUDs taken out. So it's like they run them through and we herd them into the chute a couple at a time. So I got to do that with what was super cool is Zeus is like the best cow horse. And if you don't remember, Zeus is my old Mustang. He actually lives at the ranch because 3,000 acres and all of that was better for him than my little farm. He's Mustang and he is fantastic at the job. Like
he just
I was
likes
riding
billionaires
him.
Better. Let's be honest.
It's true. It's true. But I mean, I was riding him, Glenn, this horse is like pinning his ears and like biting the butts of the cows in front. Like move faster. It was awesome. I had so much fun. Now I will tell you about something that happened on the way to the cattle herding. Cause we have to go out in the field and you have to herd on the 3,000 acres. You have to herd the cows through a bunch of gates. So there's people on four wheelers, there's people on horses and there's people in Polaris Rangers. So we're having to herd them around. So something happened in that time where halfway through the ride, Zeus started to show some soreness. So I got off. And who's the other horse I rode sword and cattle? Miles, my Andalusian. He's also there. Prettiest dang cattle sorting horse you've ever seen.
He's
awesome.
Doing good.
He is doing great. He is doing great. And he and Zeus, oddly enough, are best friends. They haven't been together since Miles was a yearling. And they remembered each other and they are best friends. And what's awesome is Miles, who is the boss here, is not the boss there. Ha ha. So he's learned his place in the world. So I sorted cattle on him and on Zeus. Super fun. Now, you guys know that in the world of owning Zeus, what is the one thing that I have said the entire time I've owned him? It's hashtag, damn it, Zeus. So it wouldn't be right if I didn't tell you guys a damn it Zeus story. So we get on the horses and I'm on Zeus and Zeus is like, he's primed, he's amped, he's ready. He's 16 now. And he was like, bring it on. So we go out to the cows and, you know, there's people that are good riders. And then there's some other people that are great riders. And so at one point TJ said, okay, you guys go that way. Jamie, you come with me. We're going to go do something stupid. Like, I was like, okay. So we have to go around the herd and bring them all. Again, I don't know where we're doing. I just following him. So he takes off at a gallop to the field. And I'm on Zeus, and he's on Miles, and I'm on Zeus. And I'm like, this is the coolest moment of my entire life. These two horses that I had forever, like, I'm out here doing stuff with both these horses. So I launch around, and we're galloping next to the horses, or next to the cows. And we're coming around the corner, and we're moving, okay? And everybody's behind us on the Rangers and other horses and stuff. And I see something on the ground. And I'm like, TJ, wire! And he's like, oh my, and at that moment, Zeus gets, there's just a random, like probably 30 yards of smooth wire that has a cow has popped off a fence somehow and broken. And it's wire is meant to be electric, but it's not hooked up to anything. It's just this large spool, maybe 50 yards of wire, just a spool of wire that's on the field. And of course, Miles gets past it, but Zeus does not.
He got and all I caught up in it.
Wire! And at that moment, Zeus sees the wire coming up on it, looks down, and just at a gallop, ducks right. Like, I'm not going to touch the wire.
No. And you ducked left?
I ducked more left than he did, but I did stay on somehow. But at that moment that he ducked right and turned around, the 30 to 60 yards of wire got stuck in his tail.
Oh no, they love that.
I mean, you want to see a rodeo. He didn't buck or anything. He was just so scared. And he was like,
usually bolt running when that happens.
Yeah, so he bolted one way and then he realized it was chasing him. And so he turned left and then he turned right and then he started running backwards because now the wire's in front of him chasing him at his face. So he's running back. This went on for a good 4 minutes.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, did you make it the 8 seconds? But you made it longer than that.
Oh, and here's the thing, Glenn, is it's just me and TJ in the front here, and everybody else is 100 to 200 yards away, so they have no idea that there's wire involved. All they see is this horse freaking out, trying to get me up. They all thought he was trying to get me up. I mean, it was a complete, utter madness show. My neck still hurts, and my shoulder still hurts. I stayed on. Well, here's the thing. I'm on this horse who is freaking out, and ever-wise TJ, who's on Miles and is trying to, you can't help me. There's no helping me because this horse is coming unglued in every direction.
It's usually a stick in the tail that causes this problem. Imagine now, a wire.
A bunch of wire. Like, why? Like, wherever, long wire. And all I hear in TJ's eternal coaching looks at me as Zeus is flipping out, and he goes, don't fall off.
That helps. That's helpful.
Awesome. Because if you fall off, they're going to hit a rock. They're going to be gone. I'm going to have wire wrapped around me. It could have been really bad. I somehow miraculously stayed on and got Zeus to where he was just standing still trembling. And TJ came up and actually, I'd never seen this happen before, but it was, and I'll have to do some research on what this is. I never got to ask him about it. He walked up to Zeus and bear hugged him around the neck. And I was like, should I get off? He's like, no, not yet. And he bear hugged him and bear hugged him and bear hugged him. And he goes, okay, you can get off. And I get off and I went around and got the wire out of Zeus's tail.
I saw that before.
I've never seen that before either. I don't know what it was like blocking him or TJ's pretty big dude. So Zeus is not a big horse. So it was, I don't know what that was, but anyway, halfway through the cattle sorting, Zeus was like, I'm kind of sore.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, me too.
I mean, what are the chances of it getting stuck in a tail? That's weird too. I mean, just weird.
It was, and there's no way you can plan for something. Like, no. I understand, like, teaching your horse to,
and
like,
as if I said, get their we've all foot had stuck. It usually with a stick stuck in the tail, right? And it's a stick that's beating them and freaking them out. But
no,
a piece
of
wire?
It was not just a piece. It was, like, a forever strand of wire.
And you're
that
right.
Just
no matter what he did, he couldn't get away. He turned around and was right there.
It was unbelievable. And so then the group comes back up, and Lucas is in one of the Rangers. He's like, Mom, I hate Zeus. What's wrong with that horse? And I'm like, dude, it was a wire. So we ended up coiling up. We had to go back and get
Chad
the wire.
Never liked Zeus.
Oh, both of them were like, that damn horse. And I'm like, it wasn't the horse. It would have been anybody. Like, I get you getting your foot, you know, you put the rope around to teach them to get their foot stuck out of a fence or something. This was just something that you cannot plan for.
No,
this.
That's
you
just a
can't.
Random. Lucky it was a barbed wire. Right.
Oh, there's so many reasons that I'm lucky. Okay. Like, I get it. Like, it was one of those, like, I don't think too hard about it because it'll scare you. But yeah. So, that was probably the most, that was like almost this, that was the second day. So
that could have ruined your week.
It really could have ruined my week. I'm glad TJ told me don't fall off because that's what kept me on.
And then you were a ways away too, out in the back 40, so that didn't help.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you want me to end on that one, or you want me to give you some more?
No, well, let's talk some more later on after the guest, because I got to find out too how Chad and Lucas. I'm sure they went fishing and all that stuff too. There's so much to do there.
And don't forget, Homer comes with me.
Oh,
they love Homer.
I didn't realize that. Okay, because you drive, Homer, right?
Yeah, Homer and Winx went, so we and we'll learn when we talk to Margaret here in a little bit about why it's not a great wolf. Hybrids are probably not an animal that you should just let go and let run around, and that also applies to basset hounds.
Homer escapes at home. I can't imagine what he'd do with 3,000 acres. Except for, he does look like bear food to out there. Though, so all right, we're in the heat of summer. Remember that every mile with traditional rubber mats is a mile where moisture and waste are trapped against your trailer floor, fueling hidden corrosion and rust and all that stuff. Worm flooring eliminates the risk by bonding a permanent rubber seal directly to your subfloor. You get the floor that protects your aluminum from rot and seamless finish that never needs to be pulled out or scrubbed. This week, prioritize your horse's comfort and your trailer's resale value. Worm provides a cushioned, slip-resistant surface that stays cool and stable even during those unpredictable spring rainstorms. Visit wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. That's wermflooring.com.
Well, we are going to continue our series on unusual pets with our listeners. We had some listeners that have had some unique things, and Glenn put out the call to hear from listeners and see what kind of crazy animals you guys have had. And one of our listeners from Vermont, Margaret, wrote in and said that she had wolf hybrid dogs. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us and for coming on to share something that Glenn is probably going to be just surprised that anyone would ever do.
Exactly. Sounds good.
So sometimes when, you know, he has done a lot of the planning for the guests and I sit down and all of the things are kind of like some questions that he's come up with, he's written down for me. Like, I'm not going to be able to talk to you, like, whatever. But the first question that he wrote down is, why?
I think it's everybody's first question.
Exactly.
I well, get it. So first of all, how long ago was this?
This was back, I had just graduated college, so it was back in like 1988, 89. I had graduated from out in Syracuse, came to Vermont for my first job. And, you know, of course, I had never had dogs in my life. Never, you know, my parents wouldn't let us have dogs. We always had cats. So I had to have a dog, you know, and came to Vermont, got my first job. The gentleman I was seeing at the time had a hound dog and, you know, that was fun, but I wanted a dog. And then I was like, I saw this ad in the paper in a New Hampshire newspaper for wolf dogs. I was like, wow, that sounds cool. And, yeah. And of course, you know, I'm only in my,
let's get a wolf.
Exactly. Now, this was 1990 by then, cause that's when I got him. You got to remember Dances with Wolves had just come out. So that was a big thing. And of course, and that's what happens. Everybody, and they were starting to, I mean, they had been around for a long time and I had heard about them, but I didn't know much. And I've always been an animal lover. I've always been a nature lover. Wolves fascinated me. So I was like, oh, this is right up my alley. So of course I had to go look at the puppies and this one little puppy, you know, was the only one he had left, a little male. And I just grabbed him and ran. That was it. So, you know, and he was, I sent some pictures to Glenn. He was so cute. I mean, he just looked like a little wolf cub. He was adorable.
I'm gonna challenge that and say he does not look like a little wolf. This is like a freaking wolf. Did you name him Two Socks?
No, I did not. No, I named him Sitka. And the only reason I named him Sitka was my aunt used to have huskies, and she had a husky named Sitka. And I always loved that dog. You know, I pretended he was mine. And so that was where the name came from. But, you know, they were quite, well, he in particular was a high percentage wolf dog. There's a lot out there even now that are very low percentage, and people are all like, oh, I got a wolf dog. And you look at him, he's like, that's a German Shepherd or that's a Husky. Yeah. But, you know, he was pretty wolfy looking. And his parents were too. Luckily I got to meet the parents while I was there. And the one advice that the guy gave me, I mean, he didn't do a background check, a house check, anything. He just said, all I have to tell you is always know where he is. Do not let him run loose. I'm like, okay.
So, sure. I've never had a dog before. It'll be fine. So you,
exactly.
I remember when I moved to Kentucky in the 90s, they were also a popularly sold dog, dog wolf. Mm-hmm. And I looked into getting one. And one of the things that they told me was obviously what you just said is always know where they are, but also they don't eat a regular dog food diet. Tell us about how you fed him.
Oh, I fed him just like any other dog. I didn't know anything like that. I would cook their meals, though, and I've always done that for my dogs. I cook hamburger and chicken, and, you know, I'd get the crunchies, you know, whatever the current crunchy was the fad at the time. I think I was doing Blue Seal Natural 26. That's what sticks in my head. And, you know, so they would get their crunchies, and then I would make meals for them. And, you know, they seem to do fine on that. I mean, they live to be in their teens. So, and they were large dogs, and, you know, a lot of our larger breeds don't live that long. So, and he wasn't my first one. Of course, I got him, and, you know, things were fine. I could bring him to work at the time, 'cause I was working at, I've been working at ski areas this whole time. And, then I took a job in a different place, and I decided, you know, Sitka needed a friend. And I had met some people, 'cause you get to meet other people in the wolfy community. And also at the time, Vermont was going through, you know, they knew that this was becoming popular, and they actually were talking about banning the breed in Vermont. And of all places, you wouldn't think that would happen, but they were talking about it. So I remember going up to Montpelier and with a group of us and, you know, testifying, and, oh, and here's pictures. And we didn't bring the dogs, but, you know, and they luckily didn't ban them at the time, because that would have been very difficult. I don't know what I would have done. But I decided, I had met some people, and I met this wonderful woman who lived in Benson, Vermont, and she was in her 80s, and she had several of these, and she had bred one of them, and she had more puppies. And of course I had to get Sitka a friend. So I went and picked up Esky, and she's the little red one in the pictures. And, again, you know, pretty high percentage hybrid. So, yeah. So I had two of them by then. So, wow. You know, wow. And it was, you know, I don't want to jump ahead of you, but, you know, it was really a life-changing experience. They really are an amazing animal, but it was one of those things that, since I'd never had a dog, you know, I didn't know any better. I would bring them to work and do all that, but I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the beach with them. I wanted to do, you know, you couldn't really travel with them. You know, they pretty much were either in their pen at home or in the house or with me on walks or stuff like that. But they weren't, like, for me, they weren't traveling companions. They were just too large to be trying to manage.
Like, having those dogs is like having a horse, like a lifestyle.
Exactly. Yes.
So the reason what they told me is, like, they were like, you have to feed it raw meat. And I was like, I'm a vegetarian. I'm not doing that. Like, no. It's not going to happen. So with them, I mean, it's hard to, I mean, I guess you have dogs now, so you probably can compare them to the dogs from the past. But, like, how are they different than just a regular dog? Harder to train? They howl all the time? Like, what's going on?
They do howl. I miss that. That's one thing I do miss, because none of my other dogs howl. But they do howl. But, you know, training, I brought them to puppy school. I did the whole thing. I treated them just like a dog, because I didn't know any better. And they were actually, they were trainable. The one thing is they're very territorial. That's the only thing I ran into, especially Sitka, the male. The female actually was very well socialized. She, right from the start, they had been handling her. You know, she came from a very responsible person. The other one, I think it was just a backyard breeder just trying to make some money. Sitka was not handled as well in the beginning. But then I gave him a very socialized life. Everybody at the mountain had dogs. He had his little pack. They would run around the mountain and have all sorts of fun. But when we were walking and stuff, they always had to be on a leash because they would wander. You know, they're very known to wander. And I couldn't have that. I couldn't have the risk of or the liability of them, you know, hurting not a person. I wasn't worried about people. They just didn't like other dogs. So that's what made it difficult to do, you know, for me to deal with any kind of socializing with them.
Well, other dogs were lunch. So
yeah. Well, they saw him as another pack. You know, it was like, oh, this is a competitor, and I don't want them in my yard, or I don't want them, you know, on my walk.
Of course, you know, that's true of greyhounds too. We could never take them off the leash when we went out on hikes and stuff because the same problem, right?
I have a basset hound. You can't do that. We all just need border collies all the time because they're like, "Where are you going? I'm going with you." So right. were they loyal to you, or like you were mom, or
oh yes, I was part of the pack. That was the thing. Myself, the gentleman I was seeing, we were the pack. And his dog, because she kind of raised them. And so as far as that's concerned, I mean, my own personal safety never were. I mean, they were my soulmates. They were just part of the family. You know, they really were. And I always say, you know, when I've lost my other dogs, you know, you kind of lose a piece of your heart. And I always say, oh, when I lost them, I lost a piece of my soul. You know, it was one of those things.
Okay.
Excuse me. I don't know why I'm getting emotional after all these years.
Well, they were your first puppies. I mean.
They were. Yeah.
Jamie, and though, go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I look at these pictures, you know what I think of as the dire wolf in Game of Thrones, because they have that look.
Well, that kind of another resurgence, right? When the Game of Thrones series came out, that was the same thing, and it got popular again, and, you know, it's kind of died down a little. I mean, and I'm not going to say I was the right person, but it really takes the right person to live with these animals. You can't just be living in a city apartment. You know, you've got to be able to have places to exercise, you know, like, they say with kids, a tired dog's a good dog, just like anything, you know, tired kid's a good kid. You got to make sure you keep them tired and keep them exercised. And I did that. Luckily, I'm a runner. You know, I would run with them. I'd hike with them. They had a great life. And again, they lived to be 14 and 13 years old. And, you know, I thought of it as an experience, but I'll never get another one, I don't think. Right after I lost Sitka, I still had Esky. I got a golden retriever, and from then on it was golden retrievers and actually Pyrenees. I've had golden retrievers and Pyrenees, and right now I think I posted a picture of Cam. He's actually a husky Pyrenees mix, so I kind of reverted back to a little bit more of the northern breed there, but
Margaret,
the goldens have been great.
What I'm getting out of you is one thing that you really, really love is excessive dog hair. Like just hair.
Yes, it's everywhere. I make no excuses anymore. I when people come to visit, I'm like, it's in the air, it's on the couch, it's in my food. So just live with it, you know.
So did you need a special veterinarian, or did a dog could a small animal vet do them?
Oh no, small animal vet did them. Actually, Esky at one point she got pancreatitis, and she ended up over at Tufts University for like 3 weeks. Being treated for that, and they fell in love with her over there. But no, a normal vet can manage them. And actually for the town, like you register them just like a dog. So I just, you know, they are legal. They are, you know, everything that needs to be done is done for them. But the veterinary care is the same vaccinations. All
she
of
didn't
that.
Have to worry about bear in her backyard though. She was the only one that didn't have to
gosh.
Worry about that.
She's
the
in
bears
Vermont,
are everywhere
man.
This year.
It's almost like you being in Vermont in the woods, like you had a bodyguard pack. Like you were good. Bears were not coming over. No other wolves. Like you were safe, girl.
That's true. And it's funny because I live alone here in Vermont, and I've always had my own place, even though I've, you know, had my boyfriends and stuff. But I remember at one point, like, I'm not in a remote area, but fairly. And I remember, you know, having people come to the door, knocking on the door, looking for directions, or and here I stand there with my dog, you know, and they just like, oh, okay. And I said, I'll keep the door shut. Don't worry. So it was a little bit of a protection. Exactly. I'm sure I had that reputation. I remember when I first moved in, one of the select board people came to visit because they wanted to check out my enclosure to make sure I had something safe to keep them in. And, you know, I think I did have that reputation of, you know, the crazy wolf lady. So
Jehovah's Witness had a list, a blacklist, and she was on it.
I was on it.
Her
well, Margaret, that is true. This is awesome. If somebody wanted to get one of these now, which I don't know if people recommend that or not, but what would you tell them?
I tell them to really seriously do their homework as far as their care, as far as the responsibility and the liability. I don't know if all homeowners insurances cover them. Sometimes there's disclosures on those. They also have to look into that. And just if you don't have an active lifestyle, do not pursue this. It's not a casual pet. It's not a lap dog. It's something that you've got to be very responsible. I'm not going to discourage people, but I just feel that it was an amazing experience for me, but I won't repeat it, especially at my age. I have had people approach me, oh, you know, my neighbor's got this dog and he can't handle them. And I know you had these. And I'm like, no, I just can't. I just won't. My Goldens are great. And I just, that's my lifestyle now. So
love it. Well, Margaret, thank you so much for coming on and joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being able for me to tell my story. I do like sharing it. So thank you.
I love it. Thank you, Margaret. Clarafly Larvicide is more than just a fly control product. It's the first step towards improving horse comfort and keeping nuisance flies out of your stable. It's my life goal. This feed additive uses an active ingredient that passes through the digestive system of horses and is expelled in their manure, where it stops flies in the larval stage. By using Clarafly Larvicide as part of an integrated pest management program, you'll get more support, more expertise, and more control. Visit centralflycontrol.com to learn more or contact your local feed dealer.
We got some and we've been using it for about 2 weeks, so I don't have, we haven't used it long enough to see.
I've been same thing. We got ours at the same time. So
So we'll give you a report as we get further along here. So you said you, I forgot that you bring the dogs along because you drive there. I always think every place you go, I'm thinking of you flying. So
I know.
And so yeah. Homer liked 3,000 acres?
So Homer, everybody loves Homer. I think he's way more popular than me or anybody.
Everybody
Homer
loves
is
Homer.
Like,
he's a cool dog.
Everybody loves Homer. So I took Homer and Winx, and Winx is my little border collie mix that I got from a crack house. So we got Crackhead and Basset Hound. And it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. I usually go up to the barn at 6 o'clock and get the horses in and just enjoy the morning. And so I take Homer and Winx up there and we all just kind of hang out. And I see Homer has like, because I look away for 30 seconds and he's like wandering up the hill kind of into the mountain. It's probably 100 yards from me. So I'm like, you know, I call him Homer, Homer, Homer. He never hears me. He can't hear me unless there's a cookie rattling or something. So I get on the ranger and I'm like, usually if I start the ranger, he'll come running. Nope, didn't start the ranger. Now he's going up this like hill and Winx is with him. And as I'm driving up to get them, oh my God, freaking 7 deer.
Oh no.
Just are like, that's what he smelled. So he's going to check it out and he flushes the deer and it's, they just take off and they just charge up the hill.
I assume Winx is a little faster than Homer.
She's a little faster, but she goes up there and I'm like, hey, and I can't take the ranger up there. Like, I can't get up there for the dogs. So I'm like, Winx, Homer, come here, come here. And I'm like, they're going to be eaten by like a bear on the other side of this mountain. So they won't come. And so finally Winx comes back down and I'm like, where's Homer? Where's Homer? What the hell? So what you don't realize is that on the sides of these mountains, they're like the ground is cactus. It's like these tiny little cactuses that are just in the ground. They're just like almost ground. Horses just walk right over them because they just, it's everywhere. Well, Homer did not plan on that. And so I get the ranger as close as I can, but there, I mean, he's probably, you know, 50 yards up the mountain. Okay. Maybe 100 yards up the mountain. And I have to go hike in to find him. I can't find him. Homer, 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 he won't come. So I get all the way up to the top of this hill and I look, and there's Homer standing completely still.
Oh, he's
standing in cactus bed, just standing there. Doesn't make a peep, doesn't move, no, nothing. Just, mama, come get me. I'm stuck. And he's standing in
cactus. The one time he won't howl.
And that doesn't say a word. So, of course, here's me. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I've been up for 5 minutes. My stupid dog just chased a bunch of deer
150 pounds.
Up the hill. He's 65 pounds, Glenn. And guess how I get him down?
I have to heave
him up on my shoulder and carry this dog at 65 pounds down a mountain. I was pissed. I'm like, this is why you should never run away. And then, of course, I put him in the ranger and I have to pick freaking cactus pieces out of his feet. And he's just
like a porcupine.
Yeah, totally like a porcupine. There was probably 40 of these little cactus pieces in his feet. So I get them all out and he's just like, okay, cool. Can we go now? Like, it was the less dramatic. Like, I mean, and I was sweating bullets. I kept carrying the stupid freaking dog down the hill. And of course, as I'm carrying him down the hill, who walks outside but TJ? And he's like, what happened? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. So I get all the way back down the barn. And I'm like, cool, let's good. Put him in there. I lock him in the tack room. And I'm like, where's my phone?
Oh no, you dropped your phone.
It fell out of my pocket there. So then I have to run down to the cabin and get Chad's phone to turn on the find my iPhone app to beep my phone. And my phone is up in the mountain somewhere. So then I have to hike back up. And it is now 7 o'clock in the morning and I am pissed and tired.
These are the things you never see on Instagram when people go away.
No, nobody posts this. So I'm having to like pick cactus pieces out of my cell phone case. It fell out of his pain with stupid dog. Anyway, it was so fun. I had the best time. It was a great week. Ugh, Homer.
You know that morning they went, she's not looking. Let's go.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's like, I smell something and I don't hear. When he smells something, he gets like when his olfactory nerves turn on, his audio nerves turn off. So like, he smells something. Nothing else is there but the scent. It's fun with that. And they've been, oh, we want to get a basset hound so much. I'm like, this is the least practical ranch dog ever.
You keep getting more, though. You keep getting new ones. So.
Oh, Homer, I love him so much. I love him.
All right, it's time to do a study show. We haven't done one of these in a very long time, like 3 or 4 months. And what this is, for new listeners, is this is a time when we take a look at studies that have been done recently and how we already knew the answer and they've just wasted all our money doing the studies. And we've been doing these, we've probably done thousands of these studies now, and there are trends that happen in these studies over the last 15 years we've been doing this, and I think you're going to find they're consistent. There's one study here, though, that really stood out to me, and I wanted to read it, but then I chose better of myself to read it. So
Here's what we do is it's boring if Glenn just reads it. So he's going to read me part of it. I'm going to guess what it was. And I'm going to take it real serious this time. Okay.
All right. First one. Studies show that habits form far faster or slower than science previously thought.
I think it takes 22 times to make something a habit, doesn't it?
So faster or slower than they previously thought.
Well, it's always said 22, so I'll go with faster.
That is true. It's faster. And Jennifer and I have a saying. We've always said it takes 3 weeks to get used to anything. In 3 weeks, you can get used to anything. And what they're finding is it can just take a few repetitions of something to become a habit.
I would agree with that.
Much faster than they previously thought, which I did and read that article.
Super hard to quit anything, too.
Yes, so. Yes. Probably that's slower than previously thought. Avoiding these things makes for a happier and more... this is the stupidest study ever, by the way, so I'm going to preface that. Avoiding these things makes for a happier and more productive college student. These three things, Jamie.
Thank you. Your college student.
So these three things make for a happier and more productive college student. Don't overthink this. Go for the obvious.
Healthy diet.
You're overthinking it.
Financial stability.
You're overthinking it. You're way overthinking it.
What else would have helped me in college? Okay, let's see.
I'll rephrase the question.
Healthy diet. You know, plenty of sleep. Plenty of sleep, a healthy diet, and not worrying about money.
You didn't spend a lot of time in college, did you?
I did not.
No. How about alcohol, marijuana, and nicotine? So,
what?
Yes, that obvious.
That makes it better?
No, avoiding these three things makes for a happier, more productive college student.
Well, I was very confused. I thought we needed these three things.
No, avoiding these three things. Yeah. No.
So don't get drunk, don't smoke cigarettes, and don't get high.
Surprisingly, if you're not up till 5 every morning, you'll get more work done. Big surprise. Weird. Why we needed a study for that, I don't know.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, okay. Victoria sent this one in. I don't know how to have you guess with this one. I'm just going to read it. Cannibalism is bad for your health.
Is that full stop?
Yeah, that's the title of this study.
And it's a study that somebody did. Like, so does that mean that they had people eat people and they took like blood pressure and like?
I thought I'd read it, but then I chose better, so I didn't read it. Thank you, Victoria, for sending this. People are now sending me studies. Jenny sent this one in. You're gonna love this one. So, a study found that women who sleep beside their dogs or their husbands have a better sleep.
Are you asking me which one would have better sleep? Oh, yeah. The dog.
That's what the study found. So a study found that women
that's a waste of money. We all knew
their
that.
Dogs tend to experience better sleep quality than those that share a bed with a human partner.
Especially when like they go to touch you and you're like hot and I'm like, could you not? I'm like super hot. And he's like, fine. In the middle of the night, I'm like, what are you getting upset about at 3 o'clock in the morning? Because I don't want you to touch my boob.
Dog,
like, get
you really
your hands off
to,
me.
You can push him off the bed.
I'm like, and Wink sleeps on my feet. I'm already hot enough from that happening. You know what? Like, I'm put Homer in the middle. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't think we really needed a study. I think we could guess what the answer would be there. Now, it didn't say anything about men sleeping with dogs. Didn't have that in the study.
We're not worried about men sleeping. They can sleep fine. They can sleep anywhere. It's us women who suffer.
Another dog one. Studies suggest that dog ownership does what?
It
appropriate,
you know,
for today's show, by the way.
Well, in my world, like, it keeps me from murdering. How about that?
Well,
horse and dog
kind of
ownership
right.
keep me from murdering.
That's kind of right. Studies suggest that dog ownership lengthens your life.
You know why it keeps you from murdering? Because like you're like, oh God, I just want a good person. But then I'm like, if I go to jail,
yeah,
who's going to
take
care of
my
dog?
All right. True or false? New study suggests that vaping can cause cancer.
Totally false. It's like good for you.
This one I would like, why are we? I know we're studying it for a reason, but did anybody think it wouldn't? Is there any guess? Anybody think that it wouldn't cause cancer there?
That's what I guessed.
Yeah, well, you were correct. Marriage is linked to substantially lower or higher risk of developing cancer.
Wait, how does being married relate to cancer? Is it because people vape more when they're married?
Lower or higher risk if you're married of developing cancer?
I'm going to go with lower.
Correct. You're doing good today.
You choose healthier things because it's not just you anymore.
You know what? That is the reason. I actually read this one. That is, you nailed it. Right.
Okay,
there.
Can I just tell you what I would eat for dinner every night if I didn't have to cook dinner
Same
for
thing
family?
Jennifer would eat for dinner.
I'm cereal. I'd be like, are we going to have Special K or Life today? Like,
cereal.
Which one are
even
we going to go
cooking pancakes
in?
Too much work. Cereal.
I don't want to cook anything. Do we have those pancakes you can put in the toaster?
She does have the go-to is those 90-second rice packets. She loves those because that's in the microwave for 90 seconds. Those are easy. Throw some veggies in, you're done. So,
yeah, ask Lucas what he gets for dinner when Chad's gone. I'm like,
chips.
Hey, what do you want?
Chips, french fries.
PB&J? Cool. You make it.
I threw this one in. It was ironic that it was in this month, actually. Studies show that wolves increase I don't know how.
What I've learned is that they increase your happiness and they are part of your soul and that they're good pets.
Maybe if they're your pet, but this study showed that wolves increase livestock stress. No kidding. No. The cows are upset when the wolf comes around. We had to study that.
Okay, that's really dumb. I didn't think
they were doing a dance saying, oh, the wolves are here. Party time.
You know, I missed out on the question. And Margaret, maybe you can answer me. Did you have horses when you had the wolves? And if they did it increase their stress? That's a great question.
That's a good question. Margaret, let us know that one, all right?
Yeah.
Smelling chocolate may help reduce blank. Not eating it, smelling it. Yes.
Chocolate may reduce ability to control oneself when eating. Because if you smell it, you're going to eat it.
Exact opposite, actually. You were close, but exact opposite. Smelling chocolate may help reduce hunger. How does that reduce hunger? When I smell chocolate, I'm hungry.
When I smell chocolate, I'm going to eat the chocolate.
Yeah, you're going to
eat
chocolate.
And I don't even really like chocolate, but I like the way chocolate smells and makes me eat it.
Yeah, you know, I really like the way coffee smells. We'll have coffee here in a bit because every month we have coffee. But I don't like coffee. But I like how it smells. I really do like how it smells.
Do you know that's weird? I recently, like probably 2 months ago, decided I don't like coffee anymore. I've drank coffee my whole life. Just one cup of coffee every morning. I cannot touch it now. Isn't that weird?
Just one it's, day, it's just like gross. Better,
like
huh?
It's just gross to me. Like, and I can't stand the way the aftertaste is. It's yeah. Really chapped.
Well,
like,
you want a coffee? And I'm pregnant, like, so that's not it.
That's what I said. I was like, am I pregnant? I'm 5 days late, and I don't like coffee. This seems very familiar.
Speaking of coffee, we have next two involve coffee. Several studies show a link between caffeine consumption and raising or lowering your dementia risk.
Oh, that's a good one because it's different every month.
It is,
so
exactly.
I'm going to go with this month. It's going to lower your dementia risk.
That's correct. Dang it. We're lowering the dementia risk this month. That's correct.
But just caffeine. You don't have to have it in the coffee.
It doesn't say coffee. Now, the next one says coffee. So this is a study showed that there are four surprising and evidence-based health benefits of drinking coffee.
Okay, well, number one, yes, it makes you poop. So it keeps you regular. It gives you energy. It makes you smarter. And people will not get close to you because your breath stinks. So all of those things.
Yeah, not on the list. A boost for liver health. Apparently your liver health is better, which the liver is kind of the thing you never really think about. A lower risk of type 2 diabetes, which was a surprise.
How much sugar are you putting in your coffee? Because that doesn't seem accurate if you go to Starbucks.
A lower risk of Parkinson's disease and increased levels of physical activity, which I thought was funny because you're drinking caffeine, you're gonna be jumpy, you're gonna be doing something.
Do you know what's crazy is that I worked with a guy for years, and he drank so much coffee all morning, coffee. He just mainline coffee. We started work at 4 o'clock in the morning, so you know, like, he just drank coffee. And years later, I talked to him, and he has Parkinson's now because he said that the coffee, his hand shook, and he just thought it was caffeine. And turns out he has Parkinson's.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm calling BS on the study.
It'll change next month, so you don't have to worry.
Okay, that's true.
It'll change.
Next month, coffee causes Parkinson's.
All right, if you want to send me a study that you found interesting, send it to glenn@horseradionetwork.com. Now we're going to end the show with this. It's time for This Day in Equine History. So in 1932, Brigadier General Harry D. Chamberlain. Do you know where I'm going with Harry D. Chamberlain? Does that name ring a bell at all with you, Jamie?
Brigadier General, I've Harry named D. my firstborn after him. Yeah.
Brigadier General Harry D. Chamberlain captained the U.S. Army equestrian team to the team gold in the 3-day eventing at the 1932 Los Angeles Olympic Games. It was the first Olympic gold ever won by an American equestrian team, completing breaking, it just broke the historical typical European monopoly on that. And this was in the days when it was all military at that point in competing in the Olympics. But it also brought about the Chamberlain style of forward seat riding that was still taught to this day.
Never heard it called the Chamberlain, but is that when, like, basically they would jump the fences and they were way in the back and the horse would launch them over? And so this guy decided, let's get in jumping position. Let's get into point.
That is correct. You're exactly right. Yeah. Not only did Chamberlain captain the squad to team gold, but he also competed in show jumping at the same Olympics, winning individual silver medal aboard his horse show.
What a bad A. Like, no. Cool. Yeah.
And on this day in 2007, the People's Horse, New York-bred gelding Funnyside, captured the hearts of racing fans when he won the 2003 Kentucky Derby and Preakness Stakes. But on this day, his connections officially announced his retirement from racing, and he became a stable pony to guide young horses. And then, where did he retire, Jamie?
Did he end up in... either at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Kentucky Horse Park. That's
right.
Yeah. I think he might have been there when we did that visit 15 years ago, actually.
He was at gelding, so, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's good he got to go somewhere. That's right. It was the horse park.
Yeah. So he passed away in July of 2023 at the age of 23 due to complications from colic, but he lived out his life being petted by strangers at the Kentucky Horse Park all those years later. So there you go. All right. So before we wrap the show, I wanted to ask about Chad and Lucas because they get to go along too. And I assume fishing is the main sport that they partake
shooting and fishing. There's a gun range out there and it's crazy. He said, I thought they didn't do it because you can't hear it. It's so far away. I mean, I was driving on one of these ranch roads and I clocked it. I was at a mile and a half before I even got to the barn. So it's like a huge 3,000 acres is a lot. So they shot a lot and they fish a lot. And Lucas was this winning fisherman because the ponds are, with the drought, like kind of smaller. So Lucas actually did really well fishing.
He just walked in and caught him by hand.
It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. And what was good is Chad didn't hardly catch anything. So Lucas was the big winner, which is great. So I did, however, there was a lunch ride and I wanted Chad to go on a lunch ride with me. I'm like, I'll put you on. I put him on a horse named Colt 45. Colt 45 is a ranch horse. Like, you can't mess up Colt 45. He's not going to mess you up. You're not going to mess him up. So I put Chad on Colt 45 and we went into the mountains for the lunch ride. Beautiful. Lovely day. Sun was out. Gorgeous. Everything was wonderful. We get up there. Lucas had driven the ranger up with his little friends. So we all had lunch ride while the horses were tied up and we ate. And then we get back on to go ride back down. And as we're riding back down, the skies start to get dark. And it starts to get very ominous looking. And the wind picks up. And the wind is now blowing like crazy as we're trying to ride down the mountain. Okay. Now, Colt 45, sweet angel of a horse, is also very slow. So he was always in the back. Okay. So, and I kept having to wait for Chad. And I was on my first ever Missouri Foxtrotter I rode, and they're faster. And so I kept having to circle Chad, like ride circles around him as he and Colt 45 were walking down the hill. But at this point, it gets super windy. And everybody has cowboy hats on. And I had just my ball cap on. So my hand on my head holding the ball cap and everybody has their hand on the cowboy hats because it is like gusting wind, like, pff, coming from behind us. And at one point, it blows my hat off. It's so bad that my ponytail was through the hat and the wind still blew off my hat from behind. So I have to get off and go chase my hat down the hill. So I get the hat, everybody else is kind of coming up behind me. And I'm like, oh my God. You guys, it's raining. It's raining. It's raining. So everybody's so excited when it rains. And Emma looks at me. She goes, no, it's not raining. And I'm like, well, yes, it's raining. And I look down. My husband and Colt 45 are behind us with the wind whipping from behind them. And Colt 45 has decided that this is a great time to urinate.
It was raining.
So if anybody wants to know what urine tastes like, I can tell you.
It was raining.
My husband's horse peed all over, like, I mean, I was like, you guys, it's raining. And they were like, no, it's not. I'm like, yes, it is. And I look back and there is just this, the wind is blowing all of this urine onto me. I mean, onto me, like to the point where I had to get back on the horse and I was wet.
I know what there you did go. When you got back.
There you go. Straight to the shower.
Shower time.
Burn those clothes
okay,
on.
I did not see that coming.
You're welcome. I mean, I'm keeping it real. I'm being honest with you, people here. And let's end the show with that. I'm out of here. I feel like I have to go shower again. I mean, I tasted it, Glenn. I tasted it.
On that note, please remember that our 4,000th episode is coming up on Sunday night, this Sunday night at 8 o'clock. There's a Facebook event link in our show notes. If you want to set up your reminder for yourself, indicate that you're coming, join us on Zoom. We're going to do it's going to be a live Zoom with all of you because we couldn't think of anything better to do for our 4,000th than hang out with the people who made it happen. So we look forward to chatting with you guys. We'll be recording that as our 4,000th episode, which, by the way, is next Monday. So we'll be putting that out as our 4,000th episode. And we appreciate you all listening for all this time through all of Jamie's nonsense.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody. Auditors, hang on.
Spay, neuter, geld, everybody.